Step to the task and it's a thing you got to come strong. If you're coming at all, you better come strong. Get out of my way. Gonna come and shine. Tell you what I got. Road rage. Nothing you can do. You're gonna get into road rage. Road rage. Road rage.
Welcome to the Road Rage. We're WCCP 105.5 The Roar, live from Twin Peaks. You want to get in? Now would be an excellent time. 654-7627. 654-7627. People always complain you can't get in the show. You can get in right now. So don't give me any of your complaints. Get in. You know, again, I'll say this one more time. I am disappointed that I took like 4 hours of phone calls for people complaining and wanting to get rid of Brad Brownell, and that none of those people have called back. And again, I know that's actually a small, really small percentage of the overall Clemson fan base. It is. They're just the loudest. You know, that's the way it always works, the way it works in this business. But it's disappointing that none of those people have called back in to say, you know what, we had it wrong. We're behind the team. We're behind the coach. No, hasn't been any of that. John, how are you?
Doing well. Walt, how you doing?
Good. Appreciate you getting in.
Happy to be here.
Lots of things to get to. So you say the Bob Stoops news has become finalized.
It is final. Bob Stoops is your general manager, head coach of the Dallas XFL team. I have no idea what they're called yet because I don't think they know, but Bob Stoops is in charge.
I still find that one of the strangest stories ever. I mean, almost as strange as that guy last night at George Coleman, who didn't like that I talked about Tom Brady because he's an Aaron Rodgers fan and walked off.
I mean, I'm a Roethlisberger fan. You didn't see me throw my headset down and walking away.
That's the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. You want to get in, 654-7627, 654-7627. I have all sorts of stuff I want to talk about in relation to the NFL, salary cap, potential movement, draft, all those kind of things that we're going to get into through the course of the day. You want to get in, you are welcome to do so. But how about this LeVar and Lonzo Ball thing?
I haven't seen it yet. I assume LeVar got in front of a microphone again?
Yeah, he's been all over, and now what he's saying is that Lonzo is a better player than LeBron, and that LeBron couldn't possibly deal with him on the fast break because he's old. And he wants to know what percentage LeBron shoots from the free throw line. And he indicated that there's no way that LeBron could ever win a title in L.A. without Lonzo. you know, it's funny. People might think somebody's making this up, but no, this guy actually says these things. And, you know, by and large, since his son got to the league, he has shut up because the Lakers have basically neutered him. The
right.
Lakers organization basically said, just shut up, stay out of the business. You don't have anything to say here. But now, again, once the possibility of his son being traded, and probably more specifically, the fact that the trade, if consummated, would have been engineered by LeBron.
Right, right.
You know, I think that's probably what galls him a little bit more. But, you know, it's funny. I saw a friend of mine, Josh Eberle, on Twitter, who covers the NBA. That's what he does. He's out of Canada, actually, but covers the NBA. That's what he does. And he is he wrote something to the effect of, it's too bad that you don't get to choose your father regarding this situation.
Right.
But what's the problem with that, John? What's the problem with, and I was going to write, Josh, I just haven't had time to yet, because I have sort of a problem with that notion. Let me tell you, here's my problem with it. You may not get to choose your father, but you can tell him to shut up.
Yes.
You can tell him to back off. You can tell him, I'm sorry, man. You're a man now. You're a man. You know, stop letting daddy fight all your battles. It's time to actually grow up and tell daddy just to shut up. to stay out of my business. Look, I appreciate what you've done for me. I appreciate that. But I can't. I have to be able to live my own life. You're not making my life easier. I have teammates I have to deal with who are, you know, behind my back talking about, man, this kid's daddy does all his bidding. You know, there's got to be a point where you're a man and you say, that's enough. That's enough, Dad. Yeah. Look, again, I love you. I appreciate everything you did. Back the blank off.
Right, absolutely. I think, you know, LeVar needs to, you know, stay out of Lonzo's business. He's an adult playing for the Los Angeles Lakers at this point. If he, you know, feels this, you know, he feels compelled to be involved in his son's ways, well, go worry about the one who's a senior in high school or the one that got kicked out of UCLA for shoplifting and now has nothing to do. Worry about those two cats. The other, you know, Lonzo, I'm not the biggest fan of Lonzo Ball, but he seems to have himself taken care of.
It's like his kids are scared of him.
Which is mind-boggling because that guy is not intimidating whatsoever.
I don't know if I'd say that. I mean, he's like 6'6", and he's a pretty big guy. Eh. I mean, but it's the way he conducts himself. I mean, you know, yeah, look, I think the guy loves his kids. I really do.
I think
he loves his kids, and I think he's certainly done some good things for them in terms of raising them and perhaps even making them better basketball players. That's debatable. But at this point, you know, man, this is a kid who's been in the NBA. He's not a kid anymore. He's a man. Daddy needs to shut up. And the only way that's going to happen is if Lonzo tells him to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, I appreciate it, Dad. Enough. Enough. You're embarrassing me. You're making my life impossible with your constant interference. I'm an adult. I'll make my decisions. I'll decide where I want to go and if I want to go to a place. It's not up to you anymore. Mike and Anderson and Dustin. Mike, how are you?
Walter, you're doing well. Yourself?
Yeah, good, Mike. Appreciate you getting in.
Yeah, yes, sir. I had a, I'm going to detract from your disappointment for a few minutes that you were talking about earlier. I am one of the whiners and complainers who called in getting on Brownell a couple of weeks ago, so I'm going to call and take my medicine at least for now. I was wrong again. You were right again.
You know, like, but you, Mike, but Brady. Mike, but Mike, Mike, wait. Let me just say this.
Yes.
See, I
yes.
don't view you that way. I view you as a thoughtful, introspective, intelligent guy, and I thought your comments that day were fair. So you actually are not one of the people that I was lumping in that category, just to be clear.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that, but anytime I call and I'm wrong or I'm 100% certain I'm right, just remember, I'm the guy who called Mickey Plyler's show about 10 or 11 years ago. I think I was his first caller that day and made the statement that Terry Don Phillips had made the most boneheaded decision in the history of collegiate athletics by hiring Dabo.
That'll happen.
So anyway, you can't be right all the time. I had a question for you, the basketball stuff aside. I know you were a huge Vince Young fan. I was too. And he followed his career closely. I saw yesterday on ESPN he was in a little trouble, nothing major. He had gotten a DUI, I believe. And my question to you, I don't know how closely you followed his life since he's left football, but what Vince Young, who was one of the most immensely talented college quarterbacks I ever saw in my life, he seems to have all these demons that he fights or whatever. Have you followed his life closely enough to know what his problems are? And I wish the young man the best of luck. I wish I could see him play football again. But I didn't know how closely you followed his life after football. And I'll hang up and listen. I enjoy your show, Walt. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. As always, appreciate it. Good job. Yeah, I think he went through a series of things. I don't know whether you want to call it psychological issues, but I think that he did have demons. I don't necessarily know that it was the extent of like a Johnny Manziel, nor do I necessarily want to categorize it in the same way. But Vince Young clearly went through some personal, emotional battles off the field. And again, the exact nature of it, Mike, you know, I've read articles on it, but I don't really feel comfortable trying to quote them off the top of my head because it's been some time in the past. But make no mistake about it, there was a time where Vince Young, a year where he had like a quarterback rating of 96, and appeared that he may be on the verge of coming around. Now, I think back to it now, and I think, well, you know, look at the hideous coaching staff he had. Jared Goff was very familiar with it. You know, and that was part of his dilemma, I think, a big part. He just didn't have anybody who could take his skill set and develop it. And that's unfortunate. But regardless of whether he did or did not, I think he still was dealing with some things from an emotional standpoint that maybe he's still dealing with today.
Yeah, it seems to be that way, and you hate to see it happen. But he, you know, Mike was right. He is one of the most talented college quarterbacks that I've ever seen play the game. He was a treat to watch back in his time at Texas, and those couple good years he had there with the Titans as well.
Yep. Let me get to Dustin on Aaron Rodgers. Dustin, how are you?
Good. How are you, Walt?
Good. Appreciate you getting in.
All right, it's good to talk to you. I've texted a little bit about the Aaron Rodgers thing. I'm a Packers fan, and I wish he'd go away.
Wow.
I can't stand him. I don't like his ego. I think he's going to limp noodle on him most of the time. And he'll get lucky because he got Devontae Adams and Randall Cobb making plays for him. But they need to get a new quarterback. And I just wanted to get your comments about if they were to get rid of him, who should they take if they were to draft a quarterback? And I'm proud of the Clemson basketball team, and I can't wait for baseball season to start.
Thank you, Dustin. I appreciate the call. It's not fair for you. Well, I mean, first of all, I mean, Aaron Rodgers is an elite arm. I mean, he has a historically elite arm. So it's not a physical problem with Aaron Rodgers. It is very much an ego problem. I mean, and you've been able to see it forever. I mean, Aaron Rodgers plays the game with this sort of little smirk on his face. And and as I've watched him over the years, it's become more and more clear to me, he just doesn't get it. He doesn't get it. He doesn't understand what winning is about. And people don't get it either because, you know, people are infatuated with the same thing. They'll see Aaron Rodgers scramble all around, hold the ball way too long, and eventually chuck it somewhere 40 yards down the field or 50 yards on a line, and they'll ooh and ah. But what they don't get is the other 50 plays, he's hurting his team. He's holding the ball too long. It's more about him than it is about winning. It's never taking the simple, easy play that's there. It's never getting the ball out of your hand and making winning plays. And it's been evident forever that he's the basketball player who plays with one eye on the scorebook. That's who he is. And it's a shame because all of his incredible physical tools are going right down the drain. They're being wasted, and 50 years from now, no one will ever know he really existed. Well, he'll be a footnote somewhere as a guy who won one Super Bowl. There are a lot of those guys. But he's never going to win another Super Bowl, and I'm really, really worried about this situation. I mean, before you had a mature, seasoned NFL coach who at least had power. Now you're going to put a kid in charge of Aaron Rodgers. And that just empowers Rodgers more, to my way of thinking, to continue to do what he wants. And again, too many people have said this. You know, it's as Randall from George Coleman said, who works there, is a bigwig there. He said, you know, he even got in an... Even Donald Driver didn't like him. Going way back to Donald Driver.
Mm-hmm.
Donald Driver, one of the most respected guys in the last quarter century in the National Football League, respected and revered by all, never had a bad word to say about anybody. Look, man, if Donald Driver can't get along with you, then you are the problem. And Aaron Rodgers has been the problem. He has been the problem all along. And we've seen multiple coaches say it. You're seeing all these Packer players coming out and saying it. I mean, that's not imagined. That's real. And this all has to do with being a quarterback. See, that's what people don't get. They see him chuck the ball 70 yards, and they think, oh, man, he's incredible. No, he's not. He doesn't get it. He's a selfish player who cares about him. He doesn't understand what it takes to win. He doesn't understand what Tom Brady does. He never will. And the people who don't get this stuff, they don't get it either. Playing quarterback is more than throwing the ball 70 yards on a line. It's more than spinning it better than anybody else. It's more than throwing a perfect spiral. It's way more than that. It's about being a leader. First of all, Terry Bradshaw for a million years has talked about the fact the most important element playing quarterback is being a leader of men. That video on Brady back when he was at Michigan, every player on that team knew he was the guy who needed to be the quarterback because he was a leader of men. He had it naturally. And that's where it starts. Aaron Rodgers is the exact opposite of a leader of men. He's an alienator of men, is what he is.
That's a good way of putting it, yeah.
He's also apparently an alienator of family members. Paul and Henry, you'll be up first as soon as we get back. Quick break.
Vehicle repairs can be a painful experience, from shops that overcharge to mechanics who don't know what they're doing. My Garage by Essex, with over 100 years of combined experience, is that vehicle repair shop you've always wanted. Specializing in computer diagnostics and engine repairs with a strong focus on preventative and scheduled maintenance, suspensions, brakes, heating and cooling. Call or stop by My Garage by Essex on Highway 93 in Clemson, 633-5800.
Caroline Heating Service has the power to keep the upstate comfortable with the most innovative products and an award-winning team of technicians. Kick off the new year with a free water heater when you purchase a new HVAC system. If your HVAC unit is needing replaced, chances are your water heater is ready too. Why not do both? Call us for an in-home estimate and let us know you heard it on WCCP The Roar. Free water heater is only for a limited time. Call us today. Carolina Heating Service, 864-232-5684 or online at carolinaheating.com.
If you haven't signed up for Seneca's Half Marathon in 5K, you need to go ahead and make a commitment to do it. Whether it's a bucket list, a resolution, maybe you've never thought about running a 5K, but you've always wanted to, well, you can do it. Sign up today, $25, and you're going to get a great gift bag. Things like a dry fit shirt, a sleeve. If you don't know what that is, you can go online, you can check it out. Also, a buff that goes over your face when it's cold outside running. And we've got some more great prizes to give away, too. Julian Davis is going to be there as the start of the race. Bradley's Jeweler is going to give away a nice prize, and Henry Ramirez is going to be there greeting you with a smile once you finish the 5K and the half marathon, and a finisher's medal for the half marathoners. And we got cash prizes. It's Race for the Green. Come on out, spend St. Patrick's Day with us, March 16th at Shapers Recreation Complex. If you want to check out the website, you can do it. Find out more information at www.seneca.sc.us. It's Seneca's Half Marathon in 5K, March 16th. Sign up today.
We want Pretzel Crust! We want Pretzel Crust!
Pretzel Crust fans, rejoice, because it's back. Yeah. By popular demand, Little Caesar's large, soft pretzel crust pizza featuring a creamy cheddar cheese sauce, pepperoni, and a four-cheese blend surrounded by a delicious salted soft pretzel crust for just $6. Hot and ready every day between 4 and 8, and only $6 from the home of Pretzel Crust Pizza, Little Caesar's.
Pizza, pizza at participating locations plus tax.
Let us bring your new Honda directly to you. Hendrick Honda Easley now offers direct on-site demos of your new Honda. Don't want to deal with traffic? Hendrick Honda Easley will bring your new Honda to your work, home, or church. Call today to schedule your personal on-site car buying experience from Hendrick Honda Easley. Call 864-855-1234 or visit ilovehendrickhondaeasley.com. Again, ilovehendrickhondaeasley.com. Experience a world-class difference at Hendrick Honda Easley.
Do you really know Joe? He may not be who you think he is, but he delivers consistent product, great hospitality, great atmosphere, great everything, and of course, great pizza. You see, Joe's New York Pizza, with locations in Seneca and Clemson, doesn't rely on some special gimmick of the month. Joe does great pizza, subs, and fresh salads made with fresh ingredients. That's who Joe is. You know him. He's all about the sauce. Joe's New York Pizza, Patrick Square in Clemson, and Seneca on Highway 123.
It's Road Rage with Walt Deptula on 105.5 The Roar.
If you got something to say, give me a call.
Back to Walt and Ramona.
Mm-hmm.
Disc is Network's brother, man.
Can you dig it? Yeah, I can dig it. Walt Deptula, Road Rage. We are WCCP 105.5 The Roar. We are back live from Twin Peaks. You know, there's a new Shaft movie coming out.
Is there really?
There is. I saw a, whatchamacallit for it, 2 minutes. It was a preview of it, whatever they call that thing. And I got to admit, the preview was pretty damn funny, but it was almost like so funny it seemed more like a comedy.
Oh, really? You know,
I'm not sure that you want to necessarily turn it into a comedy, but it honestly, based on the preview, it looked like a comedy. You know, and we may get to that a little bit later.
Check that out.
You know, speaking of which, you know, this Anthony Hopkins character, Paul, I'm coming right to you. This Anthony Hopkins character is supposed to be like one of the greatest actors of all time, right?
Mm-hmm.
The other night, I'm like bumping around looking for something to watch, and I see this like murder, you know, everybody dies kind of thing with Hopkins in it
mm-hmm.
from like a couple years ago. And I'm thinking, well, this should be pretty good. And it has the, what's that guy's name? The guy who does the guy who gave up smoking, does that smoke.
Ray Liotta.
Ray Liotta. He's the other guy in it. So I'm thinking, you know, Anthony Hopkins, Ray Liotta.
Okay.
Look at John knows these right out. I'm thinking, yeah. I'm thinking this is going to be pretty good, right?
Right.
I sit down and watch this movie. I'm like a half hour into it. I'm thinking, this is the worst movie I've ever watched in my life. But I'm thinking, but I know it's going to change. I know it's going to get better because
well, like, people start dying.
This
yeah.
Hopkins guy, he's like won awards, right?
Yeah.
And Liotta guy has been in some allegedly good movies too, right? So I'm thinking, oh, this is going to get better. So I stayed with it for the entire movie. The movie is called Blackway. That's a character.
That's a different movie. I thought it was the sequel to the Silence of the Lambs where he eats Ray Liotta's brains.
Oh, no, I didn't. No, I'm in favor of that.
I didn't know.
No,
Ray Liotta quit smoking yeah. right there.
He took the top of his head off yeah. in front yeah. of the character that Jodie Foster yeah. played. And
exactly.
like started eating his brains out, and he was still alive. And Ray Liotta was just kind of mumbling. I guess the part of his brain that
oh, yeah,
kept
yeah,
mumbling
I remember that.
Was okay.
Yeah, I remember that. I'm all in favor of that.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I'm all in favor of that.
Ray Liotta without knowing that.
Yeah, I'm in favor of that. That's, you know, a little brain eating always makes some of these movies better.
I think
so.
He fed it to a little yeah. girl on an airplane at the end.
No, I don't know about that part.
Yeah, that's a bit excessive there.
Yeah, I don't know about that part.
Yeah,
I may have to scratch that
like
part. But the rest of it, yeah. The rest of it I was completely good with until that part. but I'm telling you, this is the worst movie in history. I cannot believe I wasted like an hour and a half of my life. I'm telling you, this movie is so terrible. It is so poorly acted, so every element, the whole story, it's based on a novel. It must have been the worst novel of all time. I mean, I'm telling you, this, you trust me, if you enjoy torture, you know, if you're somebody who likes watching Jesse Palmer, then trust me, go watch this movie. Go and watch this movie, Blackway, starring Anthony Hopkins and Ray Liotta.
I know what I'm not watching tonight.
Oh, I mean, oh, goodness gracious. Just absolutely a disaster. Awful. Paul in Ennery. Paul, how are you?
Just fine, buddy. Ray Liotta was in Hannibal with him, which that was, you know, that was one of the sequels to Silence of the Lambs.
Right.
You
I think
know, that was a good
was
one. When you started saying that, I thought, wait a minute. When you started saying that,
Ramona
I said, wait a minute.
Ramona just said, nobody hears me.
Yeah. Well, I didn't think she named the movie. I just thought, but wouldn't Fred Williamson the first, was the Shaft, wouldn't he in Shaft?
Yeah.
No football player.
No. It wasn't him.
Richard Roundtree. That's right. What was Fred Williamson?
Now in the latest one, his son is in it. So there are three of them.
But the son's
like a goofball. Yeah. The son's like a goofball.
Yeah, I remember Fred Williamson played in something. Wasn't he old Los Angeles Ram? Wasn't Fred Williamson old
Well, Ram. he was most known as a Kansas City Chief.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I couldn't remember. I think he played a stint with the Rams, too, though. But anyway, but I know you're calling me out. But look, Walt, just because they beat Wake Forest and beat Georgia Tech, I'm still not in. When I promise you, if they go on and make the tournament, I will call you and say, I was wrong and you're right. But if they make the tournament, I will definitely call in. But I'm still not changing my mind just because they beat a bad Georgia Tech team and a bad Wake Forest team. So I don't know how Danny Manning's still coaching up at Wake Forest.
They blew out three teams in a row in basketball. So you're gonna be all in if they make the NCAA tournament. See, I know
if they make the tournament, I promise you, I'll call in and say, yeah, Walt, you was right, Paul, I was wrong.
That's not the kind of fans they need. They need fans who are gonna be with them now to get them to the tournament.
You know, like I said, I'll probably go over and see them. I may go over and see them play Virginia Tech. That's gonna be a crucial game right there. You know,
but every one of these games was crucial. Every one of them was crucial. They finally had the luxury that everybody else has had all along. They finally got to play some teams that were less good.
You know, yeah. But I'd like to say, you know, I promise you, I'll call in and say, you know, Walt, you was right and I was wrong. But like I said, I'm going to try to get over and maybe try to go over and see them play Virginia Tech. I'll be sitting there cheering for them, no doubt about it. But I just, you know, that's just the way I feel, like I did. Like, I think it was Mike that called in a while ago. I felt the same thing about Tommy Bowden, you know, and you changed my mind 10 years ago. So we'll just have to wait and see. But that's just the way I feel right now.
But he needed to go. This guy doesn't. This guy just took you to the third round of the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, but like I said, after 9 years, I mean, it's about time we win.
I don't care how many years it's been. Paul, what do you think happened to Virginia Tech football with Frank Beamer? If they ever operated under that principle,
I know he would have never been around. That's true. I knew he was bad. You know, he for like first about 6 or 7 years, he was not a winner. And they stuck with him. I hope you're right, Walt. I'm just telling you, I hope you were right. But I just feel like that's not the one to get us where we need to be, but you may be right. You was right about Tommy Bowden, so you may be right about this. That's just the way I feel. Like I say, you know, I'll probably go over and cheer them on against Virginia Tech, which that's going to be, they lose that one, I think that will be the beginning of the end. I'm just saying the team.
But here's the thing. They're not going to lose that game. They're going to win that game, and they're going to keep winning. And I think not only did they just come off three wins, but I think they're winning 7 of their next 9. I don't know. I don't just think they're getting the NCAA tournament. I think they're getting the tournament easily.
I hope you're right, Walt. I honestly do. I hope you're right. I hope I'm wrong, and I'll be mad.
You know what, Paul? Sometimes it's important about being right, being wrong in sports talk, but other times it doesn't matter. I'm not talking about being right and wrong. I'm talking about this team had a front-loaded schedule, and they're starting to play better, and the rest of the schedule is much more favorable. It's not just those three games. It's that they put all of the tough games up front, and everybody viewed them and judged them accordingly, which was not fair to any of these players, wasn't fair to Clemson, that these idiots put together this schedule.
I agree with that. Like I said, I just had to wait and say, hey, it's your fault, Walt. You're the one that told me at the beginning of the year when we're talking about basketball, you said just being the Final Four, so I took your word for it. And they still may be, you know. You don't want to get me all hyped up.
Yeah. Look, I picked them 8th before the season began, just for clarification's sake. But they are certainly not in that position now, but we'll find out. Maybe they will be by the end.
Well, I hope I'll be calling you back in March and say, hey, man, I was terribly wrong. I'm going to apologize there by Brownell, the team, and you.
All right, Paul.
Have a good day, Walt.
Look, again, you know, this team needs people's support now.
Absolutely.
You have a chance to impact the outcome now. But just projecting ahead, I think they're not only an NCAA tournament team, I think they make it in with much more comfort than people understand. I look at that schedule we went over earlier, and I just think it's very Clemson favorable.
And I think also when you're looking for, you know, the rest of the season, you know, the schedule was front-loaded, yes, but now we're also starting to see great minutes out of Javon White. Newman's starting to play a lot more confident, yeah, better basketball. We're starting to get some contribution out of the bench, which we were not getting the first half of ACC play. And I think that has just as much to do with it as the schedule as well. I think that we're finally not having to just rely on Marquise Reed and sometimes Elijah Thomas. Now, Elijah Thomas is playing some of the best basketball he's played in his career right now. He's playing phenomenal ball. Marquise Reed's, what, third, fourth in the ACC in scoring right now? And the fact that you're getting minutes from these guys off the bench, I think it's just huge. And this team's only going to get better, in my opinion, as it goes on.
Well, and now they have some confidence, and they're playing the favorable stretch of their schedule. I don't know why that was hard for people to understand. It's like people just see this team. They see them given this impossible early schedule that no team would have survived. Nobody. And when they don't win those games, people come away saying, oh, they suck. They're not any good. When nothing could be further from the truth. They were just given an impossible task. There was no balance or fairness in the schedule. Well, now's the fairness. You're seeing the adjustment now. It's people now acting like, oh, yeah, well, they're just being garbage teams. Yeah, they're being the garbage teams that should have been mixed in earlier that they weren't given a chance to play. That's what the basis of a friggin' schedule is.
No, absolutely. It's, you know, that we wouldn't, you know, I don't want to sound like, you know, like we were talking about the SEC people yesterday. I'm not trying to sound like this, but the ACC is probably the best conference in basketball. You're going to have some tough teams. You're going to have some bad teams. But when you play all the good teams right off the bat, I mean, if Virginia's not going to win at Duke, I don't, you know, Clemson's probably going to either. You know, it was just a tough slate, and they kept their head, you know, they stayed above water, and now they got a chance to reel off a bunch of wins here and have a strong postseason like we all thought they could back in, you know, November when this thing got started.
What do you think about this Kevin Durant stuff?
I think anybody gets paid $30 million has no business whining about the media, but that's just me.
You know, I wrote this on Twitter earlier today. I wrote, I'm not certain I've ever seen a player, at least one who didn't commit a crime, so transform himself from good guy to bad guy as Kevin Durant. All he needs is Bobby the Brain Heenan type now to manage him. This guy is going to go play in New York with that media? Hysterical.
Yeah, he will. I don't see him in New York. I don't see him in that media working together at all.
I mean, he can't handle the media where he is. He can't handle the media at all.
Where there's other people that can take this, you know, the media attention away from, like Steph Curry and Draymond Green and all those guys out there.
But what has happened to this guy? I mean, I that was heartfelt. I mean that. I mean, in just thinking about players throughout history, I'm talking about guys, again, who did not commit a crime. I'm not right. talking about somebody who went from good guy to bad guy because, you know, he attacked a woman or something. I'm talking about a guy who went from good guy to bad guy. I don't even get it. I mean, when he was in Oklahoma City, he was the most soft-spoken, likable, always had a smile, had time for people. It's now it's like he's developed this phony persona of a badass when he's not that. And honestly, if you're talking right now about, like, who are the least likable players in the NBA, this guy's got to be near the top of the list.
Yeah. No, absolutely. He's definitely up there for the way he's handled himself the last couple of years, really since he got to Golden State. And, it's crazy. You think when he got there and all the winning and the championships and the finals MVPs that he would become even more likable because he was always the likable guy who couldn't get over the hump. Now he's over the hump and everybody can't stand him.
Well, and he just seems like he's just nasty to everybody. I mean, he's in these internet fights with like 12-year-olds and, you know, and then the other day, he's lecturing the media and being an adult. Dude, you're arguing with freaking 12-year-olds on the media and you're lecturing media members about being an adult. Hey, get a freaking mirror. You're the guy who needs to be an adult. You're the biggest juvenile on the whole planet.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy has gone from, again, respected philanthropic figure in a community in Oklahoma City to just like living, breathing POS. You know, I mean, nobody likes him. I mean, nobody. And he's basically rude to everybody. You know, he's short, he's rude, he doesn't want to answer questions. Dude, you're making $30 million a year playing basketball. Don't act like you're put upon, you know, because you have to answer a couple questions. Big deal. You know what? You brought all this stuff on yourself anyway with your phony baloney. You know, remember when back when he was complaining about other people forming the super teams, and then the first thing he did when he had a chance to is run off and form a super team. I don't know. I am so down on Kevin Durant right now. It's not even funny. Robert in Georgia, you'll be up first when you get back. We'll take a quick break. Before we go to break, let me tell you about Turner's Jewelers in the Applewood Shopping Center in Seneca. There's no place like Turner's. Turner's isn't a chain. It's privately owned. They do an incredible job. Mark and his staff. Ramona loves it. She's over there all the time. It's an enormous store, something for absolutely everybody. If you want a manly watch can be found at Turner's. Pearls, gemstones, diamonds, largest selection of diamonds in the upstate, not even close. They're in stock, something in every price range. So if it's time for you to pop the question or you're thinking about it, you need to get to Turner's Jewelers. And then don't forget, they have 3D CAD technology, which means that they design jewelry every single day. Every single day. So if you want something that is unique to you, that's personal, if you can draw it up on a napkin, Turner's can bring it to life with your guidance. They'll work with you on the creation. And then, of course, the largest selection of Pandora, really around. I mean, just incredible selection. It's a store within the store run by two corporately trained Pandora ladies and now includes the new collegiate line of Pandora charms, bracelets, and necklaces. Enormous selection. All right, quick break. Robert and Georgia, you'll be up first when you get back. Walt up to the Road Rage.
Rooster's Men's Grooming Center believes a man deserves a space of his own when it comes to grooming. Rooster's offers the charm and comfort of a classic American barbershop, but updated to accommodate the 21st century man. Our professional stylists and barbers will make sure you receive the customized barbershop experience through classic haircuts, shaves, and products that reaffirm what it means to look and feel great. Rooster's at the Plaza on Pelham. Book your appointment today at 884-8920.
Start the new year off right with a visit to Edwards Auto Sales in Walhalla. They have everything you're looking for, including the new 2019 Ford models and a great selection of certified pre-owned vehicles. Get 0% financing for 60 months on select 2018 models. Edwards Auto Sales has a full body shop and rentals are available too. Visit the dealer that has been voted Oconee's number one new car dealer, Edwards Auto Sales, your full service Ford dealer on Highway 28 in Walhalla, the trusted Ford dealer for over 50 years.
Caroline Heating Service has the power to keep the upstate comfortable with the most innovative products and an award-winning team of technicians. Kick off the new year with a free water heater when you purchase a new HVAC system. If your HVAC unit is needing replaced, chances are your water heater is ready too. Why not do both? Call us for an in-home estimate and let us know you heard it on WCCP The Roar. Free water heater is only for a limited time. Call us today. Carolina Heating Service, 864-232-5684 or online at carolinaheating.com.
Great road trips start at State Credit Union, where you'll enjoy having no car payments for up to 90 days. And with rates as low as 2.24% APR on new cars, this is a great time to buy. Plus, applying for your new car loan is fast and easy. Call, click, or stop by any of the 20 branches of State Credit Union today. Learn more online at scscu.com. That's scscu.com. State Credit Union, taking members where they want to go. Certain terms and conditions apply. Rates, conditions, and programs are subject to change without notice. Equal housing lender, federally insured by the NCUA.
When it's time to replace your roof, there are so many things to consider, from the type of roof you have to the many types and styles of shingles. Gilstrap Roofing understands how each part of our roofing system works together to give you a beautiful and watertight barrier. Don't trust the one thing that really protects your home to just anyone. Gilstrap Roofing has been covering the upstate for four generations. Proven, experienced roofers for your home or business. Gilstrap Roofing, 269-1232.
Quag here for Hendrick Honda Easley. I've owned my Accord for several years, and I can tell you a Honda's the way to go. Hendrick Honda Easley's been in business 25 years, offering their customers a fair, fast, easy, and transparent experience. After you've purchased your new or pre-owned vehicle from Hendrick Honda Easley, believe me, their staff from service to finance is behind you 100%. See Hendrick Honda easily online at HendrickHondaSC.com or in person at 4609 Calhoun Memorial Highway.
You started a DIY project at home. Then you realize convenience isn't always easy. The why in DIY doesn't mean why is this so hard. At ADT, we DIFY, do it for you. We customize and install a secure smart home that you control from the palm of your hand or the sound of your voice. Smart security, designed and installed just for you with ADT. Visit ADT.com/smart to learn more. License information available at ADT.com. ADT, real protection.
His bark is worse than his bite. It's Road Rage with Walt Devtula on 105.5 The Roar.
We're dealing with a great deal of power.
Now, back to Walt and Ramona.
Fade it. Walt Devtula, Road Rage. We are back live from Twin Peaks. Look at Ramona mixing in some Led Zeppelin.
I like it.
That's against the house rules.
Oh, every is it? No, it's actually I've not. Every played has been picked out by you.
Must have been a slow day. Must have been a slow day. Now, look, I like some Led Zeppelin. Not like every song like Ramona. Let's go back to the Northland Communication phone lines to get Robert in Georgia. Robert, how are you?
Hey, Walt, John, I'm doing good. Thanks. How about you guys?
Good, Robert. Thank you for getting in.
Hey, man, I haven't seen that movie you were talking about, but if you think that's the worst movie that's ever made, you haven't watched a lot of movies, man. Ramona was saying you watch a lot of scary movies. John, you may have to help me out here. Johnny Depp made a movie where he was like this teenage greaser, and I think Ricky Lake was in this movie. Do you remember what movie I'm talking about? I don't know if it was before Edward Scissorhands.
I know what you mean, but that was like a particular genre that was playing. I can almost picture the guy. Well, I can picture the guy. I can't think of his name who directed it, but I know what you mean. But trust me, before you say this, Robert, watch the movie I'm telling you. Before you actually say this, watch this movie Blackwire.
I may have to, but that is the god-awfulest movie. You like scary movies, that'll scare the crap out of you. It's so bad. I mean, it's just terrible. But I wanted to talk about Clemson basketball, and then I had a recruiting question, but I've heard you say that the XFL's back.
Yeah, well, it's coming back, yeah.
Oh, I'll man.
It's been about a year or so.
Is he hating me coming back too? Because, I mean, who else they going to get to play in this league? They already have one league going.
I don't know, but I mean, Bob Stoops is now a coach and general manager, or a coach. What is he?
He's general manager and head coach.
And general manager.
Well, maybe he can call He Hate Me and get him to come back and play cornerback for him. I don't know. Clemson basketball, I didn't get a chance. I listened to a little bit of the first half. Didn't get to catch the rest of it, but man, I tell you, these people out here, you know, a lot of them that don't understand what's going on at Clemson and in the basketball, I think, you know, continue to talk about Brad Brownell. And you've spoken a couple of times about how he, you know, kind of reinvented himself a couple of years ago. Man, I think he's actually doing it again this year. And I'm telling you, I got a feeling at the end of this year, this may end up being Brad Brownell's best coaching job. I mean, what he's doing, you know, I watch a lot of the games. I listen to them mostly on the radio. And a lot of times, you know, you can pick up stuff on the radio that you don't get on the TV broadcast. And, I mean, I've never heard Brad Brownell. And I think it was Wake Forest. He's out there telling, you know, Thomas, suck it up. You know, Thomas is wanting to come off the court. Suck it up. Tough it out. You know, I've never heard Brownell do that. And I think he's, you know, figured out something that, you know, he needs to maybe be a little tougher with these guys, maybe, you know, coach with a little more energy. I don't know, but I just get a feeling that this might be end up being his best year as far as coaching this team is concerned.
Well, yeah, look, I after the NC State game, I said stick around. That's what I said. The next day I said stick around because there are a lot of games to be played, and I thought it really broke down. And yeah, I mean, look, I think he's doing a terrific job, and I think he's getting the best out of his players as usual. And I think Clemson's – I don't think this is just a three-game run. I think Clemson's going on an end-of-the-season run, and I mean from now to the end.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, the only game in there that I'm kind of worried about is Florida State. And Florida State and Clemson kind of trade back and forth. And with Clemson, you know, they should have won that game in Tallahassee. I'm a little concerned about that one in Clemson. But, you know, I just think Brad Brownell is doing a great job this year. He's, you know, he's really – you think about what, you know, he had to deal with. He had three players who, you know, they tried to go pro, I guess. I mean, you know, they put their paperwork in, and I guess they didn't get the grades, and you know, he had to deal with that, and he's blending all of these, you know, the transfer in, and you know, really the only thing he had, the only starting piece in my mind he had to start with was Thomas, and then he, you know, kind of had to say, okay, well, you know, Reed, Mitchell, you guys are back, okay, and then the last minute, Scarry, okay, you're back, and you know, and I think he's just, he's, to me, he's doing his best job, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I agree, Robert. I just think he's on top of it, and I think his team is really playing hard. And again, that's what I saw when I watched the NC State game. And I think that I think this team is now feeling good about themselves, and the schedule sets up for them. So, yeah, I think a lot of the people who probably called and I get it to a degree. I get that sports are emotional, and after a tough loss, people have emotional reactions. But you also have to understand what you saw. And what I saw when I watched Clemson play NC State was I saw Clemson play their best game of the year. And so my expectation was they would build on that, and that's what's happened. So.
Yeah, I called and agreed with you 100%. I thought that was their best game of the year. They played with more energy and hustle that game than they had up until that point. I had a question about recruiting. I'm not sure if you can comment on this or not, but I was curious about what you thought of Chad Morris's class in Arkansas. You know, I see you got a, you know, pretty highly regarded tight end and a quarterback, yeah, and, you know, a couple of big receivers.
Yeah,
I mean, the recruiting opinionators out there, they seem to be pretty high on it. I just thought maybe you could comment on that, and I'll take it off the air. And love you, show guy.
Thank you, Robert. Appreciate it. Yeah, I think that I think Chad Morris is getting it done, and I think he's – look, I always thought he would. I mean, first of all, he's a hyper high-energy guy.
Right.
So, you know, he has enthusiasm. He can find positives even in negatives. And if you just watch how he's managed and cultivated his team, you see some of the day-to-day operations, the videos that go around it, you see a lot of things. I think, you know, he incorporated things he learned at Clemson.
Oh, 100%.
But also, he's a really smart guy, right? And he really knows offense, which gives him an inherent advantage. He's a really bright offensive mind, way ahead of the curve on that. And he's always working to continue to evolve and to tweak and to try and stay ahead of defenses. But I think what you're seeing is his total ability to manage a program. Listen, I think that's a really tough job. I think Arkansas is like the bastard stepchild of the SEC. It's a really tough job. You know, And there's no, well, I mean, the natural recruiting base for Arkansas is Texas, but that's such a highly competitive territory that it's hard to even make a living just on it. And you're not going to make a living out of anything out of Arkansas. But I think he's done a really great job so far. And this recruiting class may just be the jumping off point for him to really evolve and build this program, John?
No, I think the two key points in this for this recruiting cycle, well, before I get to that, I think you talked about how he incorporated a lot of things from Dabo Swinney. I think when he went to SMU, he took a lot of guys that were grad assistants who were brought up into coaching through Clemson and Dabo's program, and they've all become position coaches and things like that for him now at Arkansas. So, you know, he's able to start establishing that culture. And I think the two biggest things for him recruiting-wise, one, we talked about the five-star tight end. Well, that's Hudson Henry, Hunter Henry's little brother.
Yeah.
You know, they're all, him and his brothers, they've all played at Arkansas, so it's, you know, a natural fit and a good get for that. And he also brought over Ben Hicks, his old quarterback at SMU, as a grad transfer over to Arkansas. Now, I don't know, I'm not saying that Ben Hicks is a phenomenal quarterback, but the guy knows his system inside and out. He knows what Chad Morris wants to do. And who better than these two guys that Brett Bielema brought in to run a power eye handoff offense?
Yeah. What do you know about Hicks, John?
Not a ton, other than he was quarterback for, you know, they went from a 2-win team to a bowl team at SMU.
Here's all you need to know about Hicks, all right? He is an immense ego issue. He has been a problem child every step of the way. He is a guy that there's an Aaron Rodgers element to him. However, and here's the however, he has some unique physical talents. He has a big arm. He's not always accurate, but he's a pretty good athlete. He has a big arm. He has real physical tools. Let me put it this way. He has the physical tools. If he can control and channel the emotional elements of it, this is a guy that should be a starting quarterback in the National Football League. But he's got to handle these other, his personal demons. Again, his demons aren't alcohol, not drugs, any of that stuff. His demons are his own emotional state and how he interacts with others. And if he can control those elements, he has talent. I mean, he has ability. I think he's thrown for like 9,000 yards. He has ability. But you watch him physically, and he can make all the throws an NFL quarterback needs to make. Just his accuracy is sometimes not there, and he has had this sort of constant issue with his state of maturity. Let me put it that way, with his state of maturity. And if he can, and obviously Chad Morris must believe that he can, and that's going to be a little fascinating reunion.
No, I look forward to it. I think, you know, if Chad's trying to get a guy to implement his system his way, who better than a guy that was his quarterback at his previous stop? You know, Hicks knows what Morris expects of him, and Morris knows what he can get from Hicks. I think it, like you said, if he can channel and, you know, and correct some of those mental issues that he has, he could have a big, you know, last year down there at Arkansas.
Yeah, and so, yeah, in answer to that question, Robert, I think Chad Morris has something going on, and it's an evolving SEC right now, and I think we're going to see a lot of changes in that league over the next 5 and 6 years, and who knows whether that's his final destination, but because if things go as I imagine, I think he'll have other suitors, but regardless of that, you know, if you look at that league and how it's changing. You know, I think Georgia is clearly on the rise.
Right.
I think South Carolina is getting better. I think Florida's getting better. We'll see how much better under Dan Mullen. I'm still not a big Dan Mullen believer. Again, worst record against ranked teams in America of the Power Five coaches. You know, Kentucky has a nice little program under Mark Stoops. And then, you know, you look out to the West, and maybe that's where even the more substantial changes are taking place, because I think Alabama is going to be headed in the opposite direction soon. I don't know exactly what soon means, but I think their place as one of the top two or three programs in the college football world, I think it's going to be changing. I don't envision a continuation of that success post Saban. You know, I think that, I mean, I, again, at this point, I have no idea what direction they will go in post-Saban. But how many more years is Saban coaching? I think we touched on this briefly yesterday, but I don't see him coaching more than like three more years. I would be surprised. I think that's his time frame. And who's to say that the next coach is able to continue the success? Mm-hmm. In fact, I would suggest that they wouldn't. I mean, I'd be almost certain that they wouldn't unless they get Urban Meyer, the other available coach of that class. And meanwhile, you know, I think that LSU might be getting better under Orgeron, and I think Arkansas is going to rise. Walt Tiptula Road Rage, quick break.
From the Priority One Security Studios, we are WCCP, Clemson, Greenville. 105.5, The Roar.
Hey, Tiger fans, this is Taj Boyd with an update on Lakeside Lodge Clemson, Clemson's first condo hotel. Now under construction, Lakeside Lodge offers 1, 2, and 3-bedroom condos starting from the mid-200s. You can use it whenever you want and rent it when you're away. It's that easy. With top-notch amenities like housekeeping, food and beverage services, and lake access, Lakeside Lodge will provide the ultimate Clemson experience. Hurry, because these condos are selling fast. Come see me at our sales office at 906 Tiger Boulevard next to...